I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. I don't know where in the world you are, but it feels like things are kind of slowly easing up with COVID, which is lovely. It's a few shows seeing pop up. The summer is on its way and feeling pretty positive. So I hope you are as well. This week on the podcast, I have an artist called Jansons. I came across him. He's been around for a while, releasing some insane music. But I came across him, well, I talk about on the podcast, but I came across him with his remix of Tommy Farrow, Let's Just. And it's just an unbelievable record. I wanted to get in touch with him and just get him on the podcast and kind of have a conversation. I'd never met him or spoke to him before. So this is our first conversation we've ever had. So it's kind of like the first date, but it was great. He's a lovely guy, and I hope you enjoy it. So without further ado, Jansons. And we are live. Jansons, what's cooking, man?
Easy, mate. You good?
Yeah, man. What's going on with this camera angle?
But it's on my, like, well, you know, it's weird in my studio. It's like, I've had to keep changing my seats because the monitors are too high. I've got a stupid desk, and then, like, I just put the camera onto the monitor, so it's quite high up.
Are we getting your like good angle? This is like your good angle, isn't it? And also, I've got to apologize. It might sound really shit, this podcast, because I'm in my studio and I'm just had decorators in the studio, so I literally have nothing. As you can see, my speakers are just randomly there, and it's just an echoed room. I don't have any of the treatment up, and it just sounds awful.
Sounds all right, mate. Sounds all right.
That's good then. I can just hear a massive echo or a reverb in the background. I'm like, this is awful.
You're all right. So you sound pretty close up and dry here.
Oh,
so
That's good. That's good. That's good. Mate, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. And I came across your music. I've kind of known you were around for a while, and then I came across your Tommy Farrow remix of Let's Just. Tommy's a good mate of mine, and he asked me to remix the record, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go, but I just couldn't come up with anything good. And then you came up with something unbelievable, and I was like, I'm so glad I didn't try, because I would have made it so shit compared to yours.
come on, quite easy, that one. I wanted to do, because when I produce records, I don't really have like a set theme. Although it's based around sort of house music, if I'm in a mood of wanting to do something a bit more like electronic or melodic, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And that sort of lent that way, because it's got all the nice pads and the chords and stuff. So come together pretty quick.
The original was amazing, wasn't it?
It was a massive tune, wasn't it?
Fucking he sent that to me like before he sent it to anyone. And yeah. I was like, this is when I wish I had a record label that was like up and running at the time, because it was it's an unbelievable record. Yeah. But I didn't think anyone could make a better job of the original with the remix, and you did.
And
I was,
oh, thank you.
I was like, wow, this is unreal. And then also I didn't realize that Sonny Wharton was your manager, and Sonny is like an old mate of mine from like years ago.
Right. Okay.
And now I'm like, so I know Gene pretty well, who obviously Sonny manages. I know Jess pretty well from years ago because through Sam, and now like he put us in touch, and I'm like, it's just a wonderful circle, right?
Wicked, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, Sonny's great, isn't he? He's a top guy.
I called him earlier. I realised I hadn't spoke to him on the phone for probably about 2 years. We always talk, but never like had a proper conversation for a long time. So I called him and was like, mate, we need to do this more often. But we put the world to right for a good hour. It was all right. But how's things, man? So like, what is the plan with what you're doing? Like, where are you at? Where are you at in the world? Where are you from? Like, I know nothing about you. So apart from literally, like, I know your music and I know what you do in the music industry, but I've never met you in my life.
Hopefully you will when
100% again. 100%. And your shoe looks pretty naughty. Like, it looks.
Yeah, mate, I've been here a lot. So I've been here 7 years now in this studio in North London, in Hornsey. I was in Hackney before, but because I'm in here a lot, I do my engineering as well.
Yeah.
I didn't have no window when in Hackney.
Yeah.
Just a box, dark box was getting to me. So I said, I need to get out. I live in North London as well.
Okay.
And this one sort of popped up. It was a bit more expensive. I was a bit nervous at the time.
Mm.
I was going to my girlfriend, oh, should I do it? She goes, oh, you'd be all right. You know, you get the clients in, whatever, and stuff like that. So then I moved here. I've been here 7 years. But to be honest, I want to move again now. So as you can see, I'm literally stacking up synths on synths. It's a bit ridiculous. I've got like a tiny bit of space for the keyboard, and that's it. I'm literally like this.
Yeah.
Grabbing my studio trying to work. So, but it's hard in London, especially to find good studio spaces, and they're so expensive. And to be honest, because of the pandemic, I'm thinking of moving out of London as well. That's the plan for the future.
I don't blame you. Have you heard of the Cube? Cube Studios?
Where is that?
It's not north. It's like more south.
Yeah. Where are you based anyway?
It depends. Because of the pandemic, obviously I'm from the UK, but I'm in Somerset. Which is like unbelievable. But when I'm touring, I'm based out of Detroit in America.
Oh, wicked. Okay.
So... yeah, like complete polar opposites. Detroit and
that is a bad more different. Yeah,
Detroit and Cheddar is just worlds apart. But I love it here. I'm really lucky. Like, I have the countryside and kind of can get to go out in the.
Yeah, so I kind of want that now. I never thought I'd have wanted that.
Like, how old are you?
I'm 40 now. So
yeah, man, get out to the countryside.
Yeah,
it's game changer.
That's it. I need a big garden because we've got a flat and it's like. You know, good communal garden, but
it's not the same, is it?
I do like London for the pubs and stuff like that, but you can't really go to them now. So
yeah,
I've got a dog as well now, so he needs more space and stuff like that. So
I think London's really a really cool city if you're like wanting to like really hustle in making music with like
that's the main reason I did it as well, because my main sort of job when I was just engineering, so I thought it was a good hub to be at, people to get to the studio and stuff like that, but. What I've realised now, I have people coming from Scotland or Ireland sometimes, whatever. If they want to come to see you, they'll come and see you no matter what.
Exactly.
And with the pandemic, I've adapted a little bit and I'm doing remote stuff. There's like this software called Audio Move.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wicked.
Yeah, it's great.
So put Skype on the camera and it's literally like you're there anyway. Yeah. So there's ways around it now. So
I don't really do engineering for people. I used to, but I've done a bit of writing for people in the last like couple of months.
Okay.
And that Audio Move was Shadow Child put me onto it.
It's wicked.
And it's fucking great.
Yeah, it's really good, mate. Yeah, because I do some collabs like Ben Rowles in Berlin or something. it's just a great way of working, you know. It's perfect. Yeah.
But there's still something about being, sorry for anyone that's listening that doesn't know what Audio Movers is, or it's an app that you download as like a plugin and put it on your door, and then you can send the stream link to whoever wants to listen in, and they get literally like studio quality stream, and there's like 0.1 of a second latency. It's like practically you push a key and they hear it. It's great. But there is still something about being in the studio with somebody that's just different.
Definitely. And to be honest, I mean, the people I work with now, they're not friends as well, just like hanging out. You know what I mean? So you build up relationships, and it, obviously you get to repeat business, isn't it? And you work with them, you start to get their vision and their sound and where they're going. Just like, you know, it just flows and gets easier. It's a bit hard, especially if it's a new client or something like that, and they're, I don't know, you never met them before, and it's all that's a bit tricky, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
How do you work when you're like writing with an artist? Let's say, for instance, like, okay, I come to you and I'm like, dude, I want to write a few EPs. Like, what's your process like from the get go?
Well, it's like I said, once you've worked with someone, you know the sort of sound they want to do. So it's like that. But when it's like new people, I really like stress to them, really come prepared. Like, you know, even if you just get a little loop going, or come in with samples, come in with tracks you really like. If you like a bass line from that track, sort of get it. So it gives me an idea of your vision and where you want to take it, where you want to go. I said, the more you come prepared, the better results you're going to get.
No, I totally agree, because it's tough, isn't it? Because pretty much you're doing the engineering, right? So somebody's being the producer and you're being the engineer, really. But there is a huge art to being a producer as well as an engineer.
You know what? It's really good because you said that, because I work with different people and they've all got different ideas and... Mm. You're learning from them as well. You're learning new techniques that, you know, you've got your way of working and your productions, and someone comes in with like, try that, or just throw a curveball in it, some of that, and you think, that's a wicked idea.
Yeah.
And you might make a wicked patch and you think, I'm going to save that for later on and stuff like that. So,
how does it affect your production though?
What, my own time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard like getting the balance, because obviously not ideal world. I want to be producing for myself every day, but you've got to pay the bills and stuff like that.
The
studio's not cheap either and stuff like that. So I try and be really strict. More sometimes if you've got like a bit of extra money you need to earn, you'll do it. But I try to do like at least give myself 2 to 3 days in the week for myself.
Yeah.
But to be honest, sometimes I'm so hungry to get records done, I'll just engineer, then in the evening I'll stay on till like say midnight and just do like 4 hours on my own stuff.
Yeah.
I'm in here a lot, basically.
Yeah,
I'm in here more than home, definitely.
I bet your missus loves it. it's interesting, isn't it? Especially like when you're, tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't want to kind of come across like disrespectful, but you're in your artist career as an artist, you're like still quite new into what you're like releasing. Music.
I've actually had a big chat with my agent manager today. I said, I've got a lot of, probably got my most music coming out this year, but a really steady thing. I said, we really need to maximize that, you know, maybe get some press in.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm releasing records. I do well, but I'm just plodding along. I need to really get all the exposure.
Don't get press in.
No.
Do not get press in. And this is the one thing, and this is only me, like, a bit of advice.
Go on.
Just don't get press in.
Yeah.
It's the biggest waste of money, especially at this moment in time.
Yeah,
because I've done it so many times, and that's the only reason why I would say don't do it. To create a hype, you need those like USPs, right? So you need selling points, and your music is great, if you know what I mean. But at this moment in time, what is everyone talking about? Do you fit in that realm of like being what everyone wants to talk about?
Because no one's
actually talking about great music right now.
It's
all about everything else. It's about who I am as a person. Where do you sit in the like the social chain?
That's what I struggle. That's how I really need to. I totally get what you're saying. Like, I need to bring my personality more across my socials.
Yeah.
I find the social so hard. Like, I'm doing things like, I do little studio jams, stuff like that. They do quite well. Yeah. But you're only ever going to appeal to more music. You're not going to, you will appeal to some ravers, but not most ravers don't really care about how a record's made. Do you know what I mean? They just, they want to see that person who's out and about and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I need to definitely work on, do you know what I mean? So,
If you would wanted to spend money on and something, and it was, if you were going to go and spend, because press is expensive, and the thing with press, and I think it's really interesting conversation, because I've done it so many times where I'm like, okay, I want to build some hype, let's get the press in.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, this is the goals that I want out of doing a year's worth of press. Okay, you're dropping depending on how much your retainer is. If you're working on a retainer thing, you might be dropping like 15, 20 grand a year on press.
Yeah.
If you're taking if they're,
it's a lot,
it's a lot of money. So, and also in press, they don't guarantee you anything.
No.
So for me, like, as much, I've got friends in press and I love them to bits, but I, at this moment in time, there's better ways to put money into something. Spend 20 grand on somebody to film you all day.
And
be like, mate, I'm going to give you practically a full-time wage in the UK. I'm going to give you 20 grand this year. And have somebody filming you and build a YouTube channel. And that's another income. You don't have to be teaching. It doesn't have to be you teaching people. Yeah. It can be just the life of Jansen's in London. Yeah. And they're filming like 2-3 days a week.
Yeah.
And they're building an episode a day. Like, that's a fucking great idea. And
that is a good idea, yeah.
And I think that way you get your personality across.
Yeah.
That way you have content for your social media that you're not creating yourself. Because you've got somebody creating it for you. So you take out
that's what you need. It's like a full-time job in itself, that, isn't it?
It is.
It's harder than making music.
It is. And that's the thing, is like, you didn't grow up with social media. Neither did I, if you know what I mean. So unless you're like on it from the get-go, you don't know, if you know what I mean. And it's the marketing. So for any artist nowadays, that thinks press is the good thing, I don't think it helps at all.
Well, I've always been, to be honest, I've always been wary about it, but I was speaking to agents and stuff, says maybe just do it for a month or something, because you've got so much releases coming out, just try and get some feature in a magazine or DJ mag or something like that. But I don't know,
mate, unless
it's interesting to hear your thoughts.
I think press, and this sounds awful, it's, I was actually talking to do you know Got Some, Adam?
No.
So he does like releases under Got Some, his name is. But there's a lot of things we do in the music industry that is purely to stroke our own egos.
Right, yeah.
But we think it's to benefit our careers.
Yeah.
And press is one of those.
Yeah.
Unless you're front cover of DJ Mag.
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
No one.
I always say, when I got records coming, I go, "Oh, do you want to do this interview?" I was saying, "Well, it's like an even work, and no one's going to fucking read it." Sorry, I just swore then.
No, you can swear all you want, mate. It's how I feel about mixes to a certain extent.
I think that's changed now as well. I think it's got to be streams, or things like that.
But there's reasons to do it, and then there's reasons not to do it, right? And I think if press, like Sonny, your manager, could be your press agent, he works just as hard as a press agent would. He probably knows just the same amount of people. Like, if you wanted an interview of DJ in DJ Mag or Mix Mag or whatever, he could go and get that for you. Because you guys set, I know how Sonny works. He's been the same since I've ever met him. He set goals and go and get it. But I really think nowadays it's actually about doing what everyone else isn't doing. And people want to get to know you as a person.
100%. I totally agree. Yeah.
So it's like, how do we build something that I'm in the same position at the moment. I'm still trying to work it out. What do I need to do?
I'm not that. I'm quite shy on the things. Some people on Instagram, they're just like fearless, aren't they? So confident. Go on a chat. They can do like 25 stories a day effortlessly.
Yeah.
I have to plan a story. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like that. And that's the thing is, but this is the interesting thing, right? This is like therapy 101 now. Didn't know this would turn into a therapy session for both of us. But it's like, okay, so you're an engineer, right?
Yeah.
And a producer. People come to you because they're not the best at engineering. They might have these great ideas, but they come to somebody that's better at what they want to do than them. So they come to you, they pay you. So you do exactly the same. Pay somebody that's better at social media to do your social media.
Hey, it's a light bulb moment. you're totally right, I think I've always, because someone actually said, like, if he when we was DJing, to get a video guy, things like that, because that really helps, isn't it? Stuff like that. I've actually bought GoPros this week as well. Here it is. For things like that, for going around. It's pretty good for studio. I'm going to do like sort of point of view stuff like that.
Yeah, it's great.
That was pretty good. Little things like that will help as well.
Yeah, I started it. On my last tour, or maybe 2020 and 2019, I started doing like a vlog, and it was just me with the GoPro going around on tour, really, and just like,
I just find it.
Loved
it. I think it's easier when you don't have any more to do it.
You get used to it. You feel like a dick holding a camera in front of your face in public.
Giving a little stick as well.
I would have it, but I'm empty in this studio. But it's you're just walking around. You look like a fucking bellend, but. You kind of get used to it, and those videos didn't do well, but it's building a persona, and it was fun to do it. And also I paid somebody to edit it, so and that's the thing, there's so many companies out there that want to do your social media, and I think it's bullshit. Like, these companies charge so much money. It's the same as press. It charges so much money. There's so
many. I wouldn't want that either. Yeah, like, you want to be personal still. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I can see you a mile off, and it's not the person doing it.
Yeah, we all can. Which means,
fair enough. If you're a mega superstar DJ, you probably ain't got time or anything to do that. I get that.
Nah, come on, man. How long does it take?
Yeah. I suppose you're right.
How long have we got? Like, this is my argument that, like, people doesn't. I've always been lucky with social media. And I've always done pretty well on social media. I wouldn't say my socials are amazing, but they're pretty good. And everyone's like, how have you got that? How has that happened? And it's just because I'm just like a human being on it. I respond to everyone.
Yeah, that's why I respond on comments, stuff like that.
You have to.
People message me. I love getting a message. I'm always going to reply back, things like that. I think it's great. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a good thing to do, yeah.
And you have to respond to everyone. And especially when you're touring, we have so much free time. We sat on an airport for like 2 hours, 3 hours every day, twiddling our thumbs. Like, we have time, but I honestly think, man, if you're thinking about doing press, fuck that off. Get somebody in as a bit of an investment. It might cost a bit, and it might be like, this doesn't feel right.
You're looking out your comfort zone a bit as well, I think, with things like this, and like, you've got to think outside the box, right? Because it's all well and having good records, being more now, didn't you? Because there's so many people out there doing it and stuff. And
I also think it's just another another opportunity for a revenue stream.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, if you do put like a YouTube video up and the thumbnail's right and the title of the video is right, and it just, you upload it and it just happens to get into the algorithm. Like, you can go from zero subscribers to 10,000 subscribers in a couple of weeks. And
I haven't got a YouTube channel either, so you recommend that. Definitely.
Yeah, I think nowadays it sucks because it's taken away from the music, and the music industry is not necessarily the music industry now. It's the brand.
What's your thoughts on TikTok, by the way?
Sorry?
What's your thoughts on TikTok?
Oh, man.
I can't face that one.
I'm doing some writing for someone at the moment, and that person does pretty well on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's changed my mind on it.
Really?
Yeah. And we're in different situations. That person is pretty good looking and it definitely helps. But yeah. There's also like, I'm like,
good what? Answer as well, probably.
No, but it's kind of like pretty attractive, but also yeah. like very holds themselves well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But both that person is blowing up on lots of different levels, if you know what I mean. So yeah. I think what it is the combination of just that person doing everything and yeah. everything. Timing is so key in this industry, which you know.
Yeah, like, you're right. Yeah,
timing is so key. But I think YouTube is actually a very interesting way to actually earn another revenue. Like
I think YouTube, like what about YouTube as well is the Twitch site, especially the lockdowns, like disclosure, like Twitch videos, wicked.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, amazing, like showing you so many techniques and going through their records. I love that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I'd like to do that as well. I do like a sort of hangout thing, just sit there and just come and join me, whatever, mess around. I haven't got around to doing it. I should do it. I think that'd be a good thing to do as well.
Yeah, I think what I found at the beginning of lockdown, you get offered, like, you see everyone doing stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And then what, for me, I had to do, and I don't know what it is for you, but I had to sit back and be like, okay, this is the lockdown. The lockdown's going to pass. But this has made me realize that, like, okay, maybe I need to look at elsewhere on what I want to build in my life outside of music or inside of music.
Yeah.
And is that, do I want to build up my Twitch? Do I want to build up my YouTube? Do I want to do this? What excites me? Because at the end of the day, we're all doing something that we absolutely love, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to do something. We don't want to start something, or I don't want to start something, half-ass it because I think it could be a bit of an earner. But realize we know how long it takes to earn money in music. It takes fucking years.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the same if we do that on any other platform doing something else.
Yeah. Sorry. So,
get the notifications off.
Yeah.
So I was like, so I got asked to do Twitch from Twitch. And I was like, I know how long it's going to take and how much time it's going to take for me
doing production things on Twitch.
Production, live stuff, things like that. And I was like, for me to build this up, I know it's going to take me a good 2-3 years. So it's a very good income for me. Do I want to do that? No, I don't. It doesn't work with what I want to do.
Yeah.
But do I want to do something else on another platform? Maybe. It's just, for me, it's just working out exactly what excites you.
Yeah. And what did you focus on then over this last year? What have you focused on?
Writing a lot of music.
Yeah, that's what I've sort of done.
Yeah.
I've lucky I've had like the engineering still over it to keep me going financially. But I've really made the most of I was lucky because like my studio is like a 5-minute cycle or a 20-minute walk. So I made the first few months I was a bit like, oh, I don't want to do it, panicky at home a lot. But then I thought, right, it's made the most of this now. You're still getting the engineering work. Just get in there and just make those records. I think it's actually been good. I've done some good collabs as well, which I probably never would have done. I've even learned like just little things like editing video. Like I never would have done that before. So good things have come out of it.
I think that's the thing is a lot of careers are going to come out of COVID stronger than what they were when they came in.
I think so, yeah.
And I think that's the thing is like we've just got to do what you're happy, what makes you happy. I don't want to do something that doesn't make me happy at the end of the day, especially during COVID, because it's fucking depressing.
You want to wake up being excited. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Get to see things like that, because that's what makes you happy.
Definitely. Exactly. So for me, I've done a lot of music and I've done a lot of thinking about about what I want to do. I've like started a few other projects completely outside of music that's got nothing to do with anything music.
Right.
And also, I've like filmed a cooking show.
Are you into cooking? Or
I've
actually done a bit of cooking as well. I've never done that before.
Yeah, I love cooking. So I filmed like, it's still being edited at the moment, but I've filmed like 11 episodes of like a cooking show.
How is it? Are you getting people into what? Is it you cooking?
Yeah, it's just me cooking.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's just me cooking a bunch of shit.
What are you going to do? Are you just trying to get on TV or just on YouTube?
I'm just going to start my own YouTube channel. Just completely separate out of music is going to go on that.
Nice.
So yeah, like I've just kind of been, I've not done anything that I'm like I haven't done a live stream. I've not touched live streams at all. I've done the podcast. The podcast came right at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of COVID. It just kind of fit. I'd always planned to do it. I had all the equipment before I started doing it, before COVID hit. And then it hit and I was like, this is perfect to just get this podcast up and going.
Yeah.
You're like the 55th episode. So, it's good. But yeah, I've not really changed what I've done apart from just I've had a bit more time on my hands. So I've done a bit more things that I've always wanted to do that I haven't had time to do, really.
Have you appreciated the sort of downtime of not traveling or touring so much, or just I really missed it, or a bit of both?
I don't know, a bit of both. Like I enjoyed it at the beginning, really enjoyed it because I hadn't,
but now you're hungry to get back out there.
Yeah, man, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are the same. I haven't been back in the UK for this long, for like 6-7 years now. So it's been really nice to spend time with my family and kind of see them and do all of that. But now I'm ready to kind of get going. What about you?
I can't wait. Yeah. I've just come and hear some loud music or just go on adventures, see new people. Like even like, was it last week? But we had a little stroll down the canal into King's Cross. Mm. It's quite nice around there now.
Yeah.
And just like seeing people again, you know, it's just it's nice. Just saying hello, things like that. I felt like, wow, this is quite exciting.
Yeah. It's amazing how much we need human connection.
Massively, yeah.
I think we've just like been deprived of human connection for so long. It's just like, I think everyone's now a bit like, fuck it. Let's just do what we...
It could be epic this summer, to be honest, wasn't it? I mean, it's looking good now, right, everything. So hopefully gigs are coming in. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be a good summer. But what's the plan with the Jansons project?
Man, I wanna make loads of records. Mm. I haven't really done proper touring yet.
Yeah.
I really wanna, like, you know, things like South America and stuff like that. I really wanna try and hit those sort of markets and stuff like that. I'm really happy. I think it's my strongest sort of release schedule this year coming up.
Yeah.
I also want to just, I love working with new singers and stuff like that. I want to make real, like real big records and I want to maybe start looking, I'm not at that level. Well, I'm not there yet, but I want to think about like an album and even,
ooh, cool.
Even doing a label as well. I've always wanted to do my own label. And I think this year's basis really keep building the profile, get a lot of releases out, work on socials. I was talking earlier, and then really sort of go to the next stage. Because I think having a label as well is another thing to add to you, and that people will buy into and stuff like that, and it makes you bigger and stuff like that. And obviously, if you're making a record that you love for no one else wants to sign, you can put it out yourself.
It's the only reason why I started a record label, really.
Yeah.
Two reasons: so you can control your release schedule, and because you don't have to abide by any record label's sound.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you really believe in a record and no one else will put it out, and then that's what it's there for, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And realistically, nowadays, you don't need a record label, especially when there's no touring.
I mean, when you're starting out, if you get on the bigger labels, and obviously it's going to be more exposure. But when you're at a point, I know what you're saying, it's like you can do it all yourself, can't you?
I think record labels... I was having this conversation today again, actually, and it's like... There's two things. The record is so good that everyone likes, right? You release a record and it's on a bigger label, so they kind of give it a bit of a head start, right? And it kind of goes out to a few people, but because it's on a big label, more people hear it than what it would do if you were to release it yourself. Because the record's so good, it just smashes, right? And then then you have a different career. But also there's that other side of it where you're releasing a record on someone's label and it doesn't do that well. And then it's like, well, what did I gain from that?
Yeah.
Nothing. Apart from...
Well, what I've learned is contracts as well. You've got to be careful with contracts. And when you're younger and stuff like that, you just sign everything, don't you? You never realize what you're signing. You sign your track for life.
For life, things like that.
What do you like
to sign your track away now? How long do you usually like... Will you be like...
What, years? Ten years max.
Yeah.
For me, it's ideally seven or something, but ten. But definitely not for life. No. So that, I think 10 years is plenty, isn't it, I think? What about you?
Yeah, I try and push for five if I can. Okay, yeah. Just because if the record's not doing well anyway, five's fine. If the record's an absolute smash, well, you have to negotiate really. Because the label's making a much more money than the artist in the grand scheme of record sales.
Yeah, some contracts are mad now, aren't they? The splits, I'm like, whoa, it's a bit unfair.
And then they try and sign your publishing.
That's a funny job anyway, isn't it?
And then they try and sign your publishing, and you're like, and you're giving me no advance. Like,
you don't want
to
do that.
No, fuck that. But how does it work with your engineering? Do you?
I'd say 50-50.
Yeah.
On the publishing and like a day rate, whatever. Obviously, there's you got your mates that you know, but new people now, it's just that sort of say.
Yeah.
Or if they're not happy with that, then you just say, if you have a lesser split, less percentage, and you just pay a higher day rate.
Yeah.
And most people just want to have the cheap day rate and the 50-50 split, which is fair anyway, because if you're working a record together, I think that's a fair deal, to be honest. They've come in with a track to do a bit of mixing, and it's different. But if you come in starting on the track, then I think that's more than fair.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a tricky situation at this moment in time, because I'm hearing it more and more, and I've had it where I bring writers in, let's say a keys player or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, literally, can you do this?
Hmm.
And then they want like half the record and half the sales, and I'm like, man, you didn't even produce it, like you've done nothing apart from play a few things. And but then there's the other side of it where there's a lot of artists that get their records made and then not willing to kind of give the credit of,
I think it's just, I mean, I just say the word fair, just be fair, just think how you want it to be. That's exactly. What I always think, like, for whatever singer, I say, look, you've done the lyrics, you've sung it, it's definitely 50-50 on a record. So
totally,
I mean,
totally.
Just, but yeah, I suppose that's tricky with keys players and stuff. If you just come in, I don't know if that's a session thing or whatever, a session musician, or I suppose as a record as well, you can sort of say, but if they've done a lot of melodies and a lot of music to it, then it's only fair.
Yeah,
I don't really know. Yeah, it's all different, isn't it?
It's so touchy, and I think the one thing I would say to anybody that's doing it is just like put the rules out from the day one,
very start. Yeah, that's it. Just get it all clear from the beginning. If you get messy otherwise, you're totally right. Yeah,
clear and signed off. Because otherwise, it's just game over.
Yeah, it gets messy. Definitely,
it gets proper messy, but. So as the year kind of goes on, have you got releases that you can talk about or not?
Well, I've got one that comes out tomorrow, which I'm excited about. That's called Medicine.
So when this podcast is out, the record's going to be out. So, So what label's it on?
It's on Circus. Basically, I did a track with a singer called Joe Perfadian, a Canadian singer from Nisha. Probably my best track, biggest track.
Cool.
Did really well for me. This is like a sort of a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did it. We recorded it before the pandemic.
Okay.
And it's called Medicine. And it's got the words in it. And it was going to release it in August.
Yeah.
Before pandemic struck. And a bit touchy. Nobody gets so offended now. Might offend some people.
Yeah.
So it's been put back. We kept changing the dates. But then we thought, right, let's just get out now. It's about that sort of time.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. It's getting some good feedback already. Hopefully you'll do well. We'll see. It's quite sort of a rappy sort of old school sort of house.
I'll check that out.
A bit like Tenotronic sort of vibes.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, and then I've got some remixes. I've done a remix of Hot 682's single Naboo with Nick Curley, which comes out end of April.
Yeah.
And then I've got Hot Creations with James Solis Bursky.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got another thing together on Hot Creations that comes out in May. So
sick, man.
And I'm working, currently working on a record for Snatch, the Dunmore Brothers.
Yeah.
Which sounded really nice. It's a really good vocal. So busy, mate. Yeah, then
That's dope. Yeah, man, that's amazing. Mate, I've got so much music coming out. Yeah. I've got to release every month until December, pretty much.
That's what I've pretty much done, yeah. Trying to get a monthly release, I think you kind of need it, don't you?
Yeah, I think I've got 6 releases on my label this year and then 5 releases on other people's labels.
Do you sign music as well to your labels? It's literally just for you.
So I will eventually. But I started the label in 2020. We planned all 2019, start the label 2020. We had a whole release schedule and then the pandemic hit and we carried on releasing. We pulled one release out and kind of moved a few releases around. But my plan was always to sign people in 2021. But because the pandemic's around, I don't think I've like grasped the whole label thing yet and learned enough about releasing music. So I kind of want to like use my own music as like a test rat, it's such a big responsibility releasing music.
How's it all going? How's it gone?
It's good, man. It's good. Yeah. I loved it. It's been an interesting experience, if you know what I mean. There's parts of it that I've absolutely loved. And parts of it that I just am like, this is shit. Because you start to get to know more about the politics of who runs the industry. If you know what I mean, you've got like 10 people that pretty much they choose whether your record's going to either be played on radio or get playlisted on playlists. And that's the only...
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
And
I struggle with Spotify a little bit.
What do you struggle about?
I'm getting a few playlists, but getting, like you said, the editorial playlists and stuff like that. See, some people are always in it, or thinking, get me in some, do you know what I mean? Things like that.
It's all political.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a horrible way. It's like, it is that classic who you are, who do you know, who does the record label have a relationship with?
Yeah.
Like, who's your mate? Mm. If you know what I mean. It's just very much that, which I don't think is right, because it's not done on quality music.
Yeah.
It's done on the other things, if you know what I mean.
Because I go on Spotify, I use it a lot just to find new music as well. When you go and look a little
journey,
don't you? And there's some amazing records that have got like maybe 1,000 streams of that. I'm thinking it's a shame because they're so good, some of them. And it's, I suppose that's how it is and everything, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it's like
a few just
it's interesting because at this moment in time, I've said this loads of times on the podcast that like at this moment in time, DJs, producers, like in the house and techno or electronic fields, the only way we can see if our records are doing well, usually what we have, there's a few things. There's when we play the records in the clubs, we can see how the record sounds and how the crowd responds to it. When our friends play our records in the clubs, we see videos, we see people Shazamming, we see all of that.
Yeah.
On top of that, you have radio. And then on top of that, you have Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all of the above.
Yeah.
Now, we literally only have radio and DSPs.
Yeah.
And I think for me, this is purely for me. I don't know if this is for everyone else, but purely for me is like I'm now purely basing my records on how successful they are by statistics.
And yeah, no, yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's depressing. It's fucking depressing.
I'm just saying, mate, yeah.
It's really depressing.
Do you use that app? What's that app? The SongStats app.
SongStats, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You go in there, see how it's all doing, stuff like that. And...
yeah, I've got...
but yeah, radio and Spotify, I think that's the gauge. Obviously, Beatport as well, if you're charting well, whatever. And I always look by... I always like to see if DJs are charting it. That's the one thing for me. To get a lot of DJs charting the track. It's always a good sign as
well. It's tough, man. It's a strange, especially now, it's a strange time. And yeah. I think the thing is with you is now is your like real strong time with like your regular releases. But it's going to change for you, man. Your music's fucking amazing. It will change. Like you'll see it and it might take a longer time, but don't fucking give up, man. Cause
I just need to, I was talking, I need to get my socials on point. That's the thing I'm really struggling with.
Mate, I can help you with it.
It's tough, man. It's like, especially Instagram and like just to build your followers up and stuff like that. And I know people can inflate their stuff like that, but I'll never do that. That's just not me, things like that. I think it would shooting a foot in the long run anyway.
Yeah, I think it would as well. I think realistically, you just got to be organic.
Yeah.
Don't worry about followers. Don't worry about...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
At the end of the day, you just need a good product and the music will eventually kind of go hand in hand.
Consistency, mate. Like I said, you've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
With the music, the releases, stuff like that. That's the way to go, I think, definitely.
And socials at this moment in time are weird as well because there's no clubs.
So a lot of people just posting pictures themselves. Yeah,
DJs are just... yeah, exactly. DJs have just turned into like fucking like couch potatoes and have nothing to fucking talk about. And they're like, every DJ is trying to find... their unique selling point of how they can kind of become.
You can see it,
can't you? Oh, massively. It's fucking hilarious. I love it. Because I do the same. I'm like regurgitating videos that were taken like 3 years ago or like regurgitating pictures of like that I should have posted years ago that I haven't. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And then like one day I'm posting a picture of me in like LA and then the next day I'm posting a picture of my fucking fluffy grey hairs that are coming out because I haven't had a haircut for God knows how long.
You've got the beard anyway. You just post that every day. That's impressive enough.
The beard is honestly has helped my career so much. People don't understand how much this beard has helped my career. I'm seriously not joking. It's that.
But it is, you've got like it's a big focal point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It makes you stand out.
It's that thing that people like, classic example, Green Velvet and his green mohawk, right? Yeah. We all know that's not a real mohawk. Well, I hope we all do. Sorry. Sorry, Cash, if no one knows, but I've kind of spoiled that, but that's his thing, right? His glasses and his green mohawk. Obviously, he writes fuck the best music ever, if you know what I mean, and has been grandfathered into like the best, some of the best house artists ever, house and techno artists ever. But he's got something to hold on to. Deadmau5 did exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Deadmau5
Daft Punk, you got to say as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think sometimes it's just, it goes back to what we're saying. It's just finding what your USP is. And
100%,
and yeah. Whether that for you, whether that is being a fucking geeky synth dude, like, yeah. I don't know you well enough, but
yeah,
there everyone has something. It's just finding what that is.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
I agree. And, yeah, no, talking total sense.
Would you ever do like a live show?
I mean, we also, do you know what? I do want to, but I think what I don't chat about this. What I want to do is, this is how I want to do it. I set my label up and start building the live show around the side releases. So maybe I'll limit myself. For those releases on my label, maybe I limit myself to like a couple of synths, so it's a really distinctive sound, like maybe a drum machine. So it's really tailored for live as well. So there's no samples or anything. So you're literally using like two bits of hardware, maybe a polysynth and monosynth.
Yeah.
And like a drum machine, and really build maybe 10 tracks around that, something like that. Maybe get a couple of original vocalists on it. That's the sort of vision I have on that. I think it could be really cool.
See,
that's another thing that makes you stick out as well if you did that. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say is, if you came out now as an artist that just does everything live, like you're a step above every DJ. You have a unique selling point. And how do you get that across to followers or fans? There has to be a cool way to do that. There has to be a really interesting way to do that. Kink is the king of this.
And Bicep looks great, doesn't it? I mean, their visuals and that thing is wicked. Who's stuff that? Like that? Bicep.
Yeah.
The new thing. They've nailed that live thing, haven't they, to be honest, as well?
The Chemical Brothers.
Mate, they're my favourite.
Same.
They're so ridiculous. Everything, the visuals, stuff like that. I've had some of the best times.
Yeah.
And they're epic, man. That new album's like, they're so consistently good.
Yeah.
Like, how many albums have done? It's just like, they're never like, it's always been, they're all amazing, yeah.
For me, their albums have got better.
Yeah, I think the last one's wicked. So that's one of my favourites.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. And I'm like, this, how? But the clever thing that they do is that they treat their artist career like a band.
Yeah, they're like a band, pretty much. It's like an album, isn't it? They don't really do singles or EPs. It's literally an album every year or something like that. They are like a band.
Which
you
think...
call them DJs in language. They are like a band. Really.
Yeah, I think they started as DJs back in the day, but I think it very quickly went to a band. Obviously, they in the 90s and early 2000s, that's kind of what, like Prodigy, like Moby, everything like that. They were Groove Armada. But I think there's a gap in the market.
I'm really going to think about that, because I think once you get the label up and running, I think that's a really good way to do it, put the releases out. But the thing is, always with a live show, you need to have a body of work that people really know as well. I'd want it to be proper, like you do, not just like, you know, people say they do live, they're just using ableton and
fuck that.
Not that it needs to be a proper live of your music using actual gear, do you know what I mean?
And it's also expensive. It's expensive to do. Like
and it's a lot of time, but I think like if you can do it, like you said, it's gonna take up a whole other notch, isn't it?
100%, man.
Yeah.
And if you can write the right record, which I know you can, that are super cool but also could like potentially cross over, not trying to be commercial, but like Chemical Brothers, like their shit's fucking cool and sound amazing on the radio and in a club. If you can do that, like you're onto a fucking winner. But the branding has to be right around you as well. Like
you need a good team. Everyone needs to be around there, really all coming together to all happen. Do you know what I mean?
And you've got to be willing to lose a lot of money to start with.
Yeah.
Because that's...
Don't have at the moment, but...
No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily lose money, but it's... Oh, my light's out.
Yeah, you know, you've got to invest in yourself. If you want to do something like that, you've really got to do everything to make it happen. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think 100%. You could do that, man.
Hmm.
I really think you could do that.
Yeah, I'm going to... Do you know what? I will start... I've been talking about it a lot. And because I'm so happy with the releases I've got now to the point of the year, I can really start. I mean, I need to get the label going. Once that's going, that's the sort of way I want to focus. Maybe 2022. Really thinking about that. But I just want to have a few more big records that, you know, just will build me up, and then definitely, yeah.
Yeah, man. That's it. What's your thoughts on dance albums, though?
If you like Chemical Brothers and those sort of people, then it makes sense. But I don't really get when I don't understand why DJs do it, because most of the time they just sound like they're all quite similar, just like club tracks. To me, it's almost like you're wasting your time. That could be like four really good EPs. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Unless it sounds like an album, you've got like different styles in it a little bit, or you've got like your comfort zone a bit. You've got a bit more personal things like, it doesn't have to be pure club music all the time.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. And I think of albums, you want to collaborate with different people, musicians, singers.
Yeah.
It's a big project, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's not making EPs a whole, you know, it could take like 6 months to a year to do.
Yeah.
So you've got to put everything into it. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think like some of my favorite electronic albums are not actually electronic. They're not DJs. Mm. Justin Martin's album, his Ghettos and Gardens. I don't know if you've heard that. Have you heard that?
I'll check it out though.
Mate, it's fucking unbelievable. Like
that
is probably one of my favorite electronic albums. And but then I'm kind of like borderline. It's like Chemical Brothers albums, Faithless albums, Groove Armada albums. They're all kind of electronic acts, but they're more like bands.
They are. That's what I mean, yeah.
So I think like Rufus Du Sol. Do you know Rufus Du Sol?
No.
So they're Australian band. Huge. Absolutely huge in America and Australia, and they're pretty big here. I think they sold out Alexandra Palace.
Wow.
They're pretty fucking big. Great bunch of guys as well. But I think they initially started out as a DJ. I could be people in the comments fact check me, because I could be wrong. But I think they started out as a DJ. I was talking to Sonny about this earlier actually.
Right.
And then they switch to like live only, and it went from when it was live only, they have a singer, they have the guy on bass and on the Moog and the drums, and they have a guy on keys, and they just started smash same type of music. They were releasing the same music. They released songs. They're like songs, and it's very it's not cheesy, but it's very accessible.
Yeah.
But
that to me, that's the bit, that is like the ultimate.
Yeah.
If you can make music that's, like I said, it's really accessible, but still really credible.
Mm.
That line is like, you're going to smash it. If you can get that, that's a fine line, but it's genius if that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And their branding's on point. Everything that they do is just on point. And I think the live thing helped them, because they have something to look at, because there's three of them.
Yeah.
It adds something really special.
Yeah.
To the point where they sell out Red Rocks in America, like three nights in a row, and they sell out in an hour. It's wild what they can
Amazing.
Do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'll have to check them out. I must have heard of them. I've probably heard their music, but I'm not very good with names.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
we'd have. But man, I think it could be a good way to go.
Yeah, it's just taking that step, isn't it? I think for me, I need to just go right. Let's start making it happen. Maybe just say one day a week. You're gonna start working on your live projects or something like that.
Yeah, what have you got to lose, man? What have you got to lose?
Yeah,
you. It's not like you have to write music to earn money, because you engineer. You've got your bill. Yeah. You've got your bills covered.
Yeah,
like why not?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of, I really hope there's a lot of things that start coming out soon, because
what's your whole thought? How do you think the whole DJ thing is? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of hungry DJs out there for gigs when it all starts up. But I think, how do you think it's going to go? Because there's been a lot of breakthrough producers, I think. How are they going to come into it? Is this going to be the same sort of chunk of DJs going to have all the gigs again, or are these new producers going to push through, or are they not going to, or I'm going to see the dynamics, you know, all sorts of pans out.
I think it depends what country you're in. Right. In the UK, I think we're going to see from the summer onwards, we're going to see the same lineups we all saw beforehand. Yeah. It's clubs are going to be booking the ticket sellers, headliners. And then under those headliners, you're going to start see the new kids on the block that have kind of pushed through with through the pandemic and kind of done really well.
Yeah.
It's weird because if I was a promoter, well, the lineups are out for a lot of clubs already.
Yeah, I was thinking about, do you think that's because of, like, I've seen the big festivals. That's probably...
Festivals are last year's bookings. Yeah.
Bookings, that's what I...
Yeah, festivals are last year's bookings.
Yeah.
But I've seen quite a few club lineups and I'm like, I kind of could have guessed that. But for me, it doesn't annoy me, but it's kind of disappointing. I'm like...
Yeah, I thought things might change a bit, to be honest. Yeah. But it seems to just a little pause and it's just back to normal.
Well, I think it's the most perfect time as if I was a promoter or a club owner to be like...
experimental.
I just have to, like, open my doors and people are going to come rushing in. So why don't I bring up some, like, really fresh artists that have, like, come out from the pandemic, or they were growing before the pandemic and... I don't have to pay them as much because they don't have any selling history.
I mean, it's a good time for promoters, I think. Exactly. I mean, the artists that you probably couldn't get a few parties, you get easy now at a better fee probably. But then, like I said, you're going to sell out, aren't you?
Anyway.
You can see if it's happening. Every party needs to sell out in a day.
I think 2022 is going to be a really interesting year because every quarter, I think you're going to have so much competition on touring. I think realistically it's the best year is going to be 2023, which is wild to think about because we're only just started 2021, but I think 2021 and till the autumn and kind of till the end of 2021 is just going to be a bit of a free-for-all. 2022 you're going to see a lot of tours, like actual artist tours, and it's going to be, they're going to be stacked lineups, and it's going to be like in London, like four massive house parties in, like, house and techno parties in one night.
Yeah.
There's going to be the demand for it, I think, but it's going to be a big competition and it's going to be based purely on, like, how many artists, how much value can you give the customer?
Yeah.
On stacked lineups and great club and cheap ticket. I don't know though. It could go completely the opposite where promoters.
It's going to be about the releases as well. But it's going to be so many records from that over summer.
Yeah,
It's going to be holding back.
Everyone's been holding back, but I also think that's probably not the best thing.
No, I've been just constantly dribbling out tracks all through like that last year.
Yeah,
I think it's good to keep releasing music and just do music. You have that time to do music a little bit different. You know, you don't have to focus on
clubs,
massive bills and drops, whatever, and stuff like that. You can just go a bit more personal with the music.
Yeah, which I think that gives you, like, a bit more of a personality as an artist as well, right? You're not putting yourself in the one track mind of what everyone does when they have clubs or what they think they should do because they want to be on a record label to get gigs, if you know what I mean.
I'll fall into that trap sometimes because I have to make it. I like the sound of this, but is it going to slam in the club and things like that? I'd go for that. Sometimes just the best time is just letting it flow, and if you're happy with it, you're happy with it.
I've really enjoyed, like, for like this year especially, I'm releasing records that I play in my sets, but I don't expect other people to play in their sets, and they're not straight up club records. And it's weird. Like Run, my first release this year, I'd never played that in a club. It hasn't even touched a club. I'd play it in a set, but would anybody else? I don't think they would.
If you probably would, maybe. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
But it's like, I think, yeah, you're right. You in these situations, you can actually be an artist.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because why are we saying that? Because we should be like that anyway.
Yeah, you should, but you do, but sometimes you do, don't you? You're in there, you're thinking, you do think of a sort of a club environment and stuff like that.
But why do you... Is it
big enough? Does it sound big enough? You know, sometimes you have things thinking, I like it really strict, but then maybe need to add some more to it. And sometimes I listen to some tracks and I think they're brilliant and I don't even do the thing. Thinking sometimes, why can't I just be like that? I always want to add more things in and stuff like that. Again, it's so good. It doesn't really do anything. It's really simple.
Yeah.
But it just sounds amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
I always want to add more stuff in. But then I suppose when you produce, you're hearing the same loop over and over again, you want to keep adding things and it doesn't actually need it.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. How do you do it when you're engineering though? Because you look at that like subjectively.
It's weird. Engineering, I'm really fast, track a day sort of thing, easy to do it. Yeah. But when I'm on my own, I could take weeks on a record.
Really?
I keep thinking, is it good enough? And probably overthink it and care too much and stuff like that. And like someone said to me, you're never going to write. Someone said to my friends, goes, just keep making records because you're never going to make, not every record's going to be an absolute slammer, bona fide hit.
Yeah.
Just keep doing records, you know. Couple of them will do really well, a couple of them are going to be all right, but if you keep doing records, you're going to get more and then just keep getting better instead of just keep focusing in ages on one. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree. Yeah. I think there comes a point when you can spend more time on your records.
Yeah.
It just depends, doesn't it? Because it's like, it just depends what you're trying to get out of releasing records. Because there's a lot of people out there that are just purely writing records to get on record labels to get gigs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't do that. Well, yeah, I just, like I said, I get inspired a lot. I think I really like that sort of melody or something. I want to do something on that tip. And that's how I approach it when I come in that day. I never have a template of I've got to do like this and just like to see where it goes.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that. I haven't actually written a song for myself for a long time.
Do it this week.
I don't have a studio. And next week, I'm actually in London next week.
Are you? Okay.
I'm in London next week writing for someone.
Right.
But yeah, my studio's. I've been in this studio for 9 years, which is in my house here, and I realized I was getting the house decorated, and I realized I haven't changed my studio for 9 years, and I was like, I need to do something different in this room. So I've like.
Is your studio where you live then?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
That's what I want as well. That's one reason I want to get to London as well, is get a garden, maybe build a studio down into the garden. Man. That's what I want.
It's the best.
You can just have like an idea with a night and just go pop in there for a few hours and you just think, cup of tea, just to see what happens.
It's the best. I've had studio. So I've always, where I live here, I've always had a studio in my house. And then I used to live in LA. Excuse me, one sec. I used to have a studio. When I used to live in LA, I had a studio externally. And I was like, this is so cool. But I wrote shit music in there. I probably had the studio for 6 months. No, less than that. Four or five months. And I didn't write a single good record in that studio.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like going to work. And I treat the studio like going to work for me. I treat it like that. I don't know how you do, but I'm like, okay, I wake up, go to the gym, train, do what I need to do, and then get in the studio and work till a certain amount of time and then leave. But in going to somewhere, I kind of just felt a little less relaxed, maybe.
Yeah, you have to be, that's something, you have to be comfortable and relaxed, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's nice where I am, but I'll be more and more relaxed at home. I mean, I've got everything on my laptop at home. I can't really do it in headphones. I don't like it. Nah. Not for me. No, I like to be with speakers and in space and stuff going.
Yeah, you smash your ears as well, and you're like,
I know. Yeah, I know some. Yeah, because you get excited with headphones, and before you know it, you're pumping it out, not good. I've got a little bit of tinnitus as well, so
go careful.
Got to be careful, you know. Yeah.
Do you write loud?
Do you know what? I don't. I do. Like, I have moments where this is sounding wicked and you get excited, turn it up. But in general, no. But when you're working with people, they always want it fucking really loud. And it's like you kind of have to because it's like that. Yeah, but I try not to.
Yeah.
You don't hear it probably when it's really loud either, you know?
I write really loud and it's terrible.
Yeah.
But my ears...
All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
But my ears are good. Like, touch wood. I have really sensitive hearing.
Yeah, mine are good, but there's a little bit of ringing now and then, especially if I've been painting it for 10 hours on the speakers, which I suppose anybody's going to get, aren't they?
Yeah. Got to take breaks. Have you bought any new gear over lockdown?
I have. Sometimes one of my friends has bought these Roland Boutique. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, we can see it.
It's the SEO2. It's wicked. It's like a little free oscillator monitor synth, like Roland and Studio Electronics together. For me, it's crazy really? Fat. Wicked. But yeah, I mean, my best thing is just on my OB6. That's what I use most.
It's beautiful, the OB6, isn't it?
Yeah. You're Logic as well, aren't you?
Yeah, you.
Good man, yeah.
Fuck yeah. I seem to only get people that write on Logic on this podcast, and we're like the only ones that just bitch about Ableton.
Oh, mate, I know. Good old Ableton. I don't know. Ableton's got some good things, but I don't know. Just all the audio editing and the arranging and stuff, I think it's so much more slicker.
Yeah.
And Logic personally. I suppose what you're used to, but...
That's the thing. Who did I have on... I had Archie on the podcast the other day.
He was Logic as well, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was Logic. Now he's he's gone to the fucking light side. He was saying like, oh, I just love Ableton so much now. And I'm like, okay. He was like, you should change over. And I was like, okay. When you switched to Ableton, did you write better songs? And he was like, no. I was like, did your songs sound better on Ableton than they do on Logic? And he was like, no. Then I was like, well, why the fuck am I going to move over there? But I'm tempted to give it a go.
I'm going to, you know what I'm doing? Because I do rewire it with Logic for certain things. Not so much now because of the new update with the sampler and everything like that. But I'm Ben, he uses Ableton, and we're using a code up project. It just makes sense to be in one door. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just a weekend. I think you'd be the same. You know what? You just need to know the shortcuts and navigate around it. But I'm pretty sure weekend, isn't it? You'd be pretty up to speed on it.
Pretty much. Give yourself a month and you're cooking. But it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah. It's like mixing in Logic so much better for me and stuff like that.
I love it. I love the mixer in Logic. I love
how I do. I love how it just all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Do
you have all of your synths MIDI'd up and everything like that so you can literally just pick a synth and send MIDI to?
Yeah. Put it all like... Up, yeah.
I might need to call you on that because I'm in the process of.
I mean, sometimes it's a bit of a headache, but yeah, in general. But I've got like some good sync boxes as well. I've got the old like Roland drum machines, which is really good. But if you've got any questions, just let me know. It's pretty straightforward, really.
It is because I do have it, but what I struggle with is like I want to build a template in my Logic.
That's worth doing. If you're using hardware, that's really worth doing.
Yeah, because I've got a template that I always use, but I want to get the template so it's like fully every hardware synth is on there.
Yeah,
and I can just go to it. That's kind of what I want to get.
Have you been really nerdy and actually got all pictures of the synths on the tracks? So that's ultra nerdy.
Yeah, man, that's what I want to do. Because I just want
it's worth doing,
I want the flow to be like really well, like flowed. Yeah. So I can be like, this needs to be this, or I want this drum machine on here. Like, that's what I want, really.
Yeah, do it. It's worth doing, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a process, but...
It just doesn't take that long, actually. I did it in like a few hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Do you use like a MIDI... Sorry, this is super geeky. Do you use the MIDI... hub?
I've got so much stuff in here. Like I've probably got about 50 USB plugged in at the moment, but then a lot of the stuff's 5-pin MIDI as well, so I've got a couple of MIDI interfaces as well.
Yeah,
but sometimes a few things do go a bit leery, but it's pretty, in general, it's pretty solid.
Have you got 50 USBs? What, like,
mate, it's madness, mate. Hard drives, this everything's USB now as well, isn't it? And
yeah,
I don't know why I've got so many though. I've got a lot. I've got a lot of hard drives. I've got about 10 hard drives on my computer, which is stupid as well. I need to get one.
Are you on a laptop? Do you produce on a laptop or are you producing?
I've got the Mac Pro.
The Dyson, yeah. The Dyson Hoover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good, mate. To be honest, I had it, I got it in 2014. I wouldn't mind getting a new one now because it isn't what it used to be. And like some of the plugins now, like Diva and stuff like that.
Rinse.
A couple of them, and it's like the CPU is crushing. You
know what I mean? The Roland Cloud's the worst.
Yeah, I haven't got that. People rave about it. Is it good?
It's great, but it fucking destroys your CPU.
Does it? Yeah,
they haven't got it down to a T where it doesn't destroy it.
And yeah, it pretty well do eventually. But
they're constantly updating it, which means that it crashes a lot, crashes your logic. If you've done a project and then they update it and it automatically updates.
Right.
Then you go and open the project and it's like a bitch to open sometimes.
Oh, I know that feeling.
It's so annoying. But I think also part of that is Logic's a bit glitchy. It's not the best for things like that.
Mine's pretty good at the moment, touch wood.
Yeah. It's just that odd plugin just gets you and it's like, you're a fucker. You just destroy my life for a few
just
hours.
Put it out the folder, the components on, and put it back in. And
yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But it's just a ball ache. It's like, I shouldn't have to.
Like I said, the worst, it keeps crashing because it's saying that plugin's crashing or something. Like I know what you mean.
Yeah. One of my mates, Born Dirty, he's like a producer, DJ, French guy based in LA. He, at the beginning of lockdown, he was like, mate, I'm giving up on PC. On Mac, I'm going PC.
On Mac, really?
Yeah, he was like, fuck Mac.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it?
And then he bought this, like, he built this insane PC.
Yeah.
And literally, like, I was like, mate, you're going to regret that. Like, you're going to regret it. And it's like when somebody comes off iPhone and then goes on to, like, Samsung. I'm like, dude, you're going to regret it, but do your thing. Like, you've got to do your thing. And then he regretted it within 2 weeks and was like, what the fuck did I do?
Is he back on a Mac now then?
So he built a Hackintosh.
Right.
Which he's like, he's the one that's trying to get me on Ableton like for the last 2 years as well.
Yeah.
He's like kind of anti-establishment when it comes to like writing music. He's like, it's ridiculous how he works in his brain, but I love it. But he built this Hackintosh, which is practically a Mac PC kind of, but you get to build it like insane.
So yeah, mega specs. Yeah,
ridiculous. And he loves it. But
you think he's going over the dark side? I don't know.
Well, I don't know because I like having I just produce on a laptop. I don't have anything else.
The laptops are amazing now, to be honest.
Yeah. And I have like, it's annoying because I have like two hard drives on my laptop screen because just because I have my Dropbox on a laptop on a hard drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have like my backup. But it's like, they're so expensive nowadays. They're just getting more and more expensive.
Well, the MacBooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently the new ones, especially Mega, the M1 thing or something, that's been really good, especially if you're on Logic as well.
Really?
The performance is supposed to be insane on it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, like, the next batch that they bring out, because I think...
Yeah, that's the one you were saying about the next one. Apparently, it's going to be
I think the next one is going to be... Or ones from... Yeah, the next ones from what they've just released is going to be amazing, because it's... They've done a few years of their own chips, and now they would have, like, mastered
it. I do not have the thought of producing a laptop, because it can be like a desktop when you come to your studio, but then obviously you've got it everywhere, so if you... go to the States or something, you can still what you like, just to make everything. A tune, that's all there.
That's what happened to me. I used to write on an iMac and I loved the iMac. The iMac was great and it was powerful and you had a big screen and it was great. And then I realized I had a laptop as well, but I just never transferred my projects or had, it was just another thing to do. And I was just like, okay, I just need to buy a very good laptop and just produce off that.
That's it. Yeah.
I think I'll always do that, really. Unless I went more studio based and I'd buy the Dyson and just go balls heavy and just like get the best one.
That's a new one, isn't it? Like, it's like a bloody cheese grater or something. It's a new one. That's like, it's like a mortgage.
Mate, it is.
It's insane. Even, what are you playing at?
Even the iMac, the iMac Pro that they put out.
Yeah. The black one.
The black one.
That's like mega wage as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Mate, it's like, if you spec it up, you're talking 20 grand. And you're like, what the fuck? It's ridiculous. But then if you think about it,
who can afford that? Like, just, it's got to be for like professional companies. It's got to
be. It's got to be.
Most people couldn't afford that just for home, could they?
Not in music. Not in music. I think it's more developers, like film developers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't need that stuff for music anyway. It's more the graphic stuff. Yeah.
Or like gamers and stuff like that. But I don't think gamers are on Mac at all, really. But yeah, they're fucking expensive, and they're getting more expensive. So
just keep getting money out. Yeah,
I wonder what's next. I wonder if there's going to be another company.
What, another computer company?
Yeah, that just comes out and like fuck you, Apple and PC.
So what? I'm surprised there's not.
Exactly. This is my theory. Like, why?
You really think there must be? Like, yeah. It's weird. It's only just them two.
It's the same with phones, right? There's only two things. Well, now there's three because there's Google, but Google still uses Android. Like, why is there not something else?
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. Like, there should be more competition for that, definitely.
Well, I think
there needs to be more competition. It's just more fairer for people.
Well, that's the thing. Competition brings innovation.
Yeah.
Right?
100%, yeah.
And keeps prices down. Like, when you're walking around in the street and you have your laptop on your back and your phone in your pocket, you are walking around with a fuck ton of money.
You are, yeah.
And you're just like...
I'm wearing shorts.
It's wild. But we're all fucking suckers and we still just buy into it.
Yeah, I do, mate. I'm a sucker for technology, I must admit. I always need...
No shit, mate. No shit.
That's the vintage stuff, though. No, I mean, like the phones. Like, I need to get the new one. Actually, I'm old now, but
I'm different with phones. I keep them until I can't see anything on it.
Really?
Yeah. And
this one's quite old now. Mine's a few years old, but I'm doing a new one.
Get it, man. Get some new Sims. I'm like, what's your thoughts on modular?
No. it looks amazing, but I don't know. Like, do you actually get any tunes done? Well, maybe you do, but that's not my style of music either. Maybe if you're a techno purist sort of guy, but if you're a house producer, I find it a bit, I don't know. And I think it could be dangerously addictive as well.
Yeah.
I think if you start getting into it, plus I haven't got the room. but yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm thinking about getting
the
ring.
You're doing it. I'm thinking
dope for do like a rig, like a 1000 rig or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, could be cool.
I think what would be good about it if you really start and you really understand everything because you can build it up and you really know everything about it. Although it looks confusing when you see it on like people's videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think if you start from scratch and you really probably understand the synth more than your actual
synths. Well, I think it will allow you to understand all your other synths as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I think it will give you a more understanding. So it could be a good synth.
But
I'll turn around my opinion. Yeah.
This time next week. Yeah, selling all your gear. Have you seen like Deadmau5 Studio?
Mate, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
What the actual fuck? I wouldn't know what to do.
It's so good. I know. That's everything about it is awesome, isn't it? The size of everything.
Have you seen Hans Zimmer's?
Mate, he's God to me, basically. Same. Unreal, isn't he?
I've got
isn't his wall just pretty much modular? The whole thing in his house, isn't it? And literally his wallpaper is modular, basically, isn't it?
And it's not any modular, it's Moog. It's all Moog. And you're like...
Yeah, he's got that, isn't he?
How, like, I know he's worth money, but his wife must hate him because he must spend so much money.
Like, he's mega. Man, look, do you know what about Hans Zimmer? Sometimes I sit in a studio, I have really loud, I'll just like play like the Inception soundtrack or one of the ending film credits of his films. It's like, just makes you feel epic yeah. listening to it.
Do you have Masterclass? Have you been on Masterclass?
No, but the guy is that no. What's Masterclass?
Masterclass.com.
Is it Mixing and Masters? No, is that
no. Masterclass.com is like a website where you can watch. It's like a lesson thing.
Did he do one?
Yeah.
Or something, didn't he? Have you watched it,
mate? I've watched it about 5 times.
Is it good?
So good.
Right, I'm gonna watch that now.
It's so good. You got to pay to like. I pay like a subscription. I think it's like £100 a year, £120 a year, but you get to see like as many classes as you want.
And yeah. Have you learned a lot, or just good to look at?
I've done Gordon Ramsay's cooking ones and learned a few.
Oh, there's all sorts. It's not just music.
It's massive. It's huge. It's like, right, okay. But the thing is, it's not. You know, like this. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but you know, like there's these like. House ones like that's everyone's just doing like the same old here's how I make a tech house record like
yeah see I've been approached to do some but I'm sort of unless I really need to do it I'm sort of staying away from that because yeah. every producer's doing it
exactly
you know what I mean so
I get why they're doing it everyone's
no it's money as well
chucking a bit of cash yeah. in someone's yeah. face and getting them to do some work really yeah. but yeah I think you're doing the right thing for staying away do it on the best way do it on your own YouTube and yeah. you earn all money from it
yeah.
eventually
or yeah, you're right, yeah.
Or build pay somebody to make it for you with you and yeah. sell it yourself
yeah
like
do you think people will still do it do you think producers and DJs will speak when it's I think they probably that was sort of slow right down wouldn't it when the gigs start happening again
but this is the, and well, this is what I was going back to you from the beginning it's like I want to build something that I want to do for the rest of my life, not just to fill a gap.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things, like sample packs and stuff. I don't know your yeah. kind of feelings on that.
Have you done one? No. Is that me? No,
have you?
Oh, Johnny, no.
I got offered a few, but I'm just like, yeah. they would have to pay me ungodly sums of money to do it. And,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm not worth it.
My time is precious to me as well. Yeah. I'd rather, what gives me, what you talked about earlier about being happy and what gives me my most satisfaction is making a record.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time for me. So,
and the only reason why I would do it is if somebody paid me stupid amounts of money and I know I'm not worth that much money to them. So
yeah.
it's just like, well, it's just not worth it. Let's just agree that this is not a good thing. But Masterclass, the good thing about Masterclass is they clearly have insane money behind them.
And so produced really well, yeah. And again, mega people. So, Hans Zimmer, I mean, so.
Mate, Hans Zimmer, Gordon Ramsay.
I bet Gordon Ramsay's a good one, isn't it? As well.
Really good. Really good. He's done 2 on there. And right. it's really good. The Gordon one's very like learning. It's very more so based on like,
yeah.
you actually learn. The Hans Zimmer one is more talking about his process.
Right.
And it's, mate, I could listen to him talk all day. It's like,
yeah. It's gosh, like, I need to. That's fascinating, actually.
It's like gay porn, and I'm not even gay. It's great. But there's a few in there. Mate, sign up to it and just watch it. You won't write music for the next week because you'll just be watching it. But
mate, talk about subscriptions. How many subscriptions have you got?
Oh my god,
mine are out of control now. I think I've got every like TV subscription thing on like Netflix and all that. And there's a new music subscription. I was like, oh, I need that one.
how many OnlyFans subscriptions have you got? That's the real question. yeah, subscriptions are wild, aren't they? They've got us.
They get out of control.
They've fucking got us. They've done it. And businessmen have just made so much money out of subscriptions yeah. over the last couple of years. But I'm Apple Music, Spotify.
I haven't got for music, actually.
I only got... Oh. I don't use this... Sorry if anyone from Apple Music's listening. I don't use Apple Music to listen.
No, I don't.
Because the app's just not good.
It's not, so, is it? It's, no. Yeah, it's, I think it's bigger in America, Apple Music, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is much bigger in America.
Yeah.
but the app's just not as strong as Spotify.
That's it. That's what it's down to. Like, it needs to be really user-friendly, quick.
Yeah. I think Apple, with the streaming, just was so behind.
I'm surprised they haven't, because you think with like Apple, like the iPhone, I think, and the Mac, it's just super user-friendly.
Yeah.
It's surprised I haven't got that nailed with their music streaming, to be honest.
I think what it is because what they try to do is amalgamate everyone's library with the streaming.
Yeah.
Rather than just going, because you can, they still have the store, don't they? So you can still buy Apple Music. You can buy music from Apple Music.
You still buy it? I thought it got, well, iTunes is gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's now part of Apple Music. So you can still buy stuff.
Who buys it though? It's weird, isn't it?
I do. I still buy stuff.
Yeah. I buy vinyl. That's it really now. I don't actually buy, but I don't buy digital music unless it's Beatport. Yeah. I wouldn't buy. I'm just listening. Say if it's an album or something, I'll just listen to it on my Spotify or whatever it's now, stuff like that.
If I want to sample it, I'll buy it.
basically, yeah.
but yeah, so I think that's what happened, is that they wanted to amalgamate everything, but it just, what they needed to do is just do a completely different app that is just purely a streaming only app.
Yeah.
And then you allows you to make playlists that you can then share with everyone else.
Yeah.
And all of that.
That's what's good about Spotify, isn't it? The playlists and stuff like that. It's not really the same one, is it?
Playlists. So you can make playlists on Apple and people can follow your playlist, but it's not done publicly. So you can send a link to people and they can follow your playlist. And every time you update it, it gets updated for them, but it's not public. They can't. Apple's that closed system. And that's where Spotify's kind of taken over with playlists, is that Apple's playlist, they have 5 dance playlists. Spotify has fucking thousands. Thousands. Oh, yeah. There's a new one every day that comes up.
Yeah, yeah. There literally is, isn't there? Yeah.
And then you have all the third party ones.
It's the DJ one now, isn't it? The DJ ID, whatever you call it, or selects the.
Yeah, you have track selects from them. And obviously you have your third party, I have a playlist, like everyone has a playlist now.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to push things. And then you've got these companies that are like running at like huge ads on their playlist to get huge followers, and then they're selling like spaces in those playlists to get more streams.
Right,
so it's like it's turning into a proper business, and I think it's great. I think it's great. Apple's just doesn't like people making. Apple's great for the artist. Apple pays double what Spotify pays. Yeah. So Spotify pays 0.004 and Apple pays double. So it's like 0.008, which is great. And that's what I love about Apple. I just wish I wish they made it more user friendly so that more people used it.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll down the line. Maybe, I don't know.
It's kind of too late though now, isn't it?
Yeah, what's the other one? Amazon and stuff like that. Who even uses that?
I think all of these are bigger in different countries.
Different countries, yeah.
Amazon Music's now, I think, at the same level as Apple Music.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You
got YouTube Music as well. Like,
yeah.
You got Deezer. You got Tidal. Jay-Z's got his own Tidal.
Yeah.
I used to be subscribed to that, and then I was like, this is awful. So I got rid of that. It was expensive as well. It was the most expensive. It was like $14 a month.
Was it? Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, it adds up. The subscriptions add up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's loads of like plug-in ones now. They all go into that sort of route, aren't they? Music plugins and stuff.
Yeah,
I'd say it's Slate one, man. That's well worth it.
Do you use it? Because I use Slate a lot.
I love Slate Digital. I feel wicked. I think plugins are wicked, yeah.
Soundtoys is still my favourite.
Yeah, Soundtoys. I use that. Soundtoys, Slate. A lot, yeah.
FabFilter
as well, obviously.
I was going to say, do you use FabFilter?
Mate, it's the Pro-Q3 is my main use plugin without a doubt, easily.
Really? I emailed them to try and blag some software.
Did you have any luck?
No, fuckers.
I got that Soothe as well. I had a Soothe. OX sound or something that sort of suppresses all your resonances and stuff.
Okay.
It's really good. Check it out.
Is that on FabFilter?
About it. No, it's called, I think it's like a Swedish company.
Okay.
It's OEK Sounds.
Okay.
But it's like a sort of dynamic suppressor. Same thing, they've got the horrible like free resonances. Mm. It sort of finds them. It just saves you a lot of work. It's really transparent as well.
Really?
If you're using vocals or like loads of synths, it really just gets rid of those horrible resonances.
Ooh. Can you send me a link to that later?
Yeah, we'll do, yeah. It's really good.
That's great. Yeah, I think I need to buy the FabFilter stuff.
Yeah, mate. I think it's wicked, yeah.
It's fucking expensive.
As well.
It's proper expensive.
They're all expensive now, aren't they? They're all like I said, everything's getting more expensive.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just fair play, though. They know that there's a market there and people are buying it. You don't...
Mate, FabFilter. Have you not got a FabFilter Pro Q?
No, I've not got any FabFilter.
It'll change your life.
Honestly. I used to have the cracks.
Yeah, mate. Well, yeah.
I had the cracks years ago, but I refuse to use cracks now. So
no, it's no point. Yeah. Messes up your system as well.
Fucks it.
Especially with Logic as well. Yeah. You never open a project again. You're
exactly.
Like crashing all the time.
It suck, but yeah, I do need to get that big time.
Pro Q 3, mate. Yes, that should be your next plugin, definitely.
Is the Pro Q 3 the EQ?
Yeah, but it's like a dynamic EQ as well. So you can just select a frequency and just like literally compress that frequency with the
so
EQ.
So it's like a multi-band compress EQ.
Yeah. Mate, it's wicked. Yeah.
Mate, did you just have a bottle change halfway through?
I've got two bottles.
I've got a lot of time
for
that.
This one and that one. I've got my refill one. Yeah, I need it. Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for that. That's great. Mate, we've just done an hour and a half and I don't have a fucking clue how that happened. Let's wrap this motherfucker up. How can people follow you, listen to your music, etc., etc.?
Basically, Jansons Music, Jansons Music app. Basically, it's the same all over. On Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all the same handle.
Sick.
Basically, get me, yeah.
Amazing, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Good chatting.
Yeah, let's keep in touch. Let's catch up when I'm in London as well, maybe.
Definitely.
In the evening or something. I think restaurants open up again next week.
Yeah, so. Come to the studio.
Yeah, definitely. Sweet. Keep in touch. Thank you so much, man. Keep safe. And that is a wrap. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. I loved it. Please subscribe. Please hit comments. Please hit the review and share it with whoever you think is gonna like it. Keep safe. I love you lots. Big love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.